and for those of you who are joining us online. We have a few announcements. One of the most exciting is that we're having the barbecue after worship today. And so instead of greeting you back at the red doors, I'm going to be standing here to greet you with the hopes that most of you will be going out these doors to join us for the barbecue after worship. During the offertory this morning, instead of having someone provide special music, we're going to be singing a congregational hymn together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's listed in the bulletin, but I just wanted to give you a heads up that we're going to be singing that together. I don't know that anybody from the fellowship committee is in here, maybe a couple of you, but I just want to say thank you to the fellowship committee. I know it's a really big undertaking to provide a meal of this scope and to be out in the heat all morning long preparing it. So if you will join me in thanking them when you go out later. I'm very honored to be able to share the news that Mike Wilson and Joanna Carfitt are engaged to be married. The wedding will be next fall of 2023, but we are so excited for you and rejoice with you and ask God's blessings on your life together. The basket offering for July will be going to the Davidson Medical Ministries, and so since today is the first Sunday of the month, we will be taking that up today. This week, the Finance Committee is meeting on Wednesday. Next Sunday, after worship, is a VBS volunteer meeting. We are having a VBS day the last Saturday of this month on the 30th. The theme is Christmas in July, and so if you would like to help with VBS Day this year, please come and join us next Sunday for a meeting. We have a few birthdays this week. Sherry Proctor, Mary Davis, Gyla Kepley, and James Rosick. And there are no anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is
God on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as God loves. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on life's journey so that we may spread your peace in all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dangled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies shall flourish like the grass. And it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
to God. We'll read the psalm responsively. Be joyful in God, all ye lands.
Be joyful, all the earth.
Sing the glory of God's name.
Sing the glory of God's praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. All the earth bows down before you.
Sings to you, sings out your name.
Come now and see the works of God.
How awesome are God's deeds toward all people.
God turned the sea into dry land so that they went through the water on foot.
And there we rejoice in God.
Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Bless our God, you peoples.
Bless the sound of praise ye heard.
Our God has kept us among the living.
And has not allowed our feet to slip.
The second reading is from Galatians. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. Word of God, word of light.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near." Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad, and Rosalie, and Gracie, and Gavin, and Isabel, and Maddie. I need a volunteer to help me illustrate something. Conrad, will you help me? Okay. If you'll come stand right here, in each hand, take a weight, and I want you to stand for as long as you can with those weights sticking out. So the passage that I'm preaching on this morning is from Galatians 6:2, and it says, "Bear one another's burdens." And so sometimes when we're out there in life, there are some things that come along that can be really heavy. Is it too heavy?
No.
No? Do you want someone to help you? It hurts right there. Can someone come and help Conrad hold one of these weights or hold up his arm? Oh my goodness. Okay, so Grace is going to help hold up your arms. How does that feel? Here, turn your wrist around so you don't hurt your wrist. Is it easier or harder to hold those weights when Gracie's helping you?
Easier.
It's easier. I tell you what. I'll let you go ahead and sit down because I think you've illustrated what I wanted to say, and that is sometimes life can be really hard, and the things that we have to carry in life can be really heavy. And sometimes we feel like we have to carry those things all by ourselves. But when we do, the longer that we hold those heavy things, the harder it gets to hold them. But in the family of God, we're called to bear one another's burdens. And so that means that when life gets really hard and really heavy, we can help hold each other's arms up as we carry those hard things. Maybe we can help even take away the hard things and carry it with them. Because it's just too much sometimes to do on our own. But sometimes when we're dealing with really hard things in life, sometimes we don't always want to ask for help. Can you guys help me think of why we don't always want to ask for help, even if things are really hard? Yes?
You want to prove everyone right that you can be strong?
You want to prove everyone right that you can be strong. I heard somebody say it's embarrassing to ask for help. It's embarrassing when people know that we can't do something all by ourselves. Those are absolutely some really, really true reasons why we don't ask for help. Can you think of any others?
You want to be
You want to be more kind? Well, tell me, how does it feel when somebody asks you to help them? Does it feel embarrassing when somebody asks you to help them? No? If somebody needs, you get up and help them. You want to help them, right? Do you think that they should be embarrassed if they ask you for help on something? No. You always should ask for help. So you all have helped me to put words to things that I think we all often think. You know, life is hard and life is heavy. And when we ourselves need help, we so often don't want to ask for help because we're embarrassed. We want to prove to others that we're strong enough. We have so many reasons why we don't want to ask for help. But when other people ask us for help, we're happy to help. And we don't think that they should be embarrassed. And we don't think bad of them or think that they're weak or that they're not strong. We feel grateful that we can help them. So this verse today that I'm going to preach on, bear one another's burdens. We love to bear other people's burdens, and we're pretty good at it. But we're actually not very good at letting other people bear our burdens. And so I want to encourage you, while you are still young, to work on this. It's not something easy, and it certainly doesn't come naturally. But when you need help, it's okay to ask for help, because others aren't thinking the things about you that you're thinking about yourselves. They want to help you, and they want to love you. And especially here in the church and in this family of God, we love one another, and we want to help and care for others. So when you have a hard time asking for help, ask God to give you courage and strength to let others help you. Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today and for each other. Sometimes it can be hard to ask for help. Help us to be strong and courageous enough to ask others for help, and continue to use us to help others. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. Conrad, you want to take these back to your seat with you? I'm just teasing you. He's going to do some calisthenics while I preach to help him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned to the children, today's sermon comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I have loved this verse for many, many years. In fact, in my Bible, the ink underneath it that I've underlined with has faded, which means it was probably a long time ago that I underlined it. I've liked it for a lot of years. Because when I read it, I feel affirmation about the life that I am, that we all are called to live, caring for others, supporting them, helping to meet the needs of others. This verse makes us feel strong and confident and empowered. This is what we are called to do in the body of Christ. While I was preparing for this sermon, I was imagining all of you, and since you all kind of sit in the same place every Sunday, I can close my eyes and think of all of your faces. And as I was thinking of each of you, I couldn't think of a single person here who wouldn't do anything for anyone that anyone needed. I think if there was a need presented to me any day of the week, I could call any of you and say, there's this need, will you help me meet it? And you would jump at it. As individuals and as a congregation, we are really good at bearing one another's burdens. And that is a beautiful and faithful thing. And yet, for as many times as I have read and recited this verse, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, this week was the first time that I felt conviction in reading it. Not conviction that we aren't bearing one another's burdens, conviction that we don't always let others bear our burdens. We can be quite resistant to letting others bear our burdens, can't we? So I spent some time pondering why we don't want to burden others. Perhaps sometimes it's out of fear. What will they think of me if they know that I'm struggling in these ways? What will they think of me if I let them bear these burdens? Will they still love me? Will they judge me? Perhaps sometimes we're resistant to letting others bear our burdens out of shame. We feel shame for having needs and for struggling and for needing help sometimes in our struggles. Maybe sometimes we don't feel worthy. We don't feel worthy enough to let others bear our burdens, to help us, to come alongside of us. You see, our culture has taught us that we are to be entirely and completely independent all the time, no matter what, and that anything less than that is a sign of weakness. And we're taught to be ashamed of our weakness, and we think that others will love us less if we show our weaknesses to others. This is a limited list of some of the reasons why we resist letting others bear our burdens, and I invite you to spend a few minutes this week sitting with this question and to put words to why you yourself don't want others to bear your burdens. And whatever the reason or reasons, here is the truth of what it means to be a child of God. It means that you are a sibling to all of your siblings in the church, in the family of God, and not just the family of God here at Holly Grove, but the family of God all over the world. And in God's family, we have made promises to one another in baptism, to love one another, and to care for one another, to pray for one another, and to support one another. And even if we're pretty faithful in the ways that we live out these promises, we aren't always so faithful in receiving the ways that these promises are lived out toward us. And I don't think what's being offered here in Galatians, this call to bear one another's burdens, is an either-or option. I think it's both. We are called to carry one another's burdens, and we're called to let others bear our burdens. The word for this is interdependence. So think of it like a pendulum. On the one side is dependence, and on the other side is independence. And somewhere in the middle is interdependence. A mutually dependent way of living. So we start out our lives over here being completely dependent, and then we swing over here to being completely independent. But what hopefully happens in life, and especially in the body of Christ, is that we even out and come somewhere in the middle where we are interdependent, moving freely and graciously between dependence and independence, as we depend on one another, as we support one another, as we care for one another. This interdependence, is the kind of relationship that God calls us to in the church, where we are mutually dependent upon one another, bearing one another's burdens, and letting them bear ours. You see, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul insists that the church is to be a community in which we share responsibilities for one another's lives. Life in the Spirit, life together, is God's family in community. And our life together is to be modeled after the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. This is what the second part of that verse means. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the way that Jesus fulfills the law, through love and with love. Jesus continuously emptied himself by spending his life faithfully and completely living out the love of neighbor. When we look to the interests of others and not our own, when we put others ahead of ourselves, we faithfully mirror the character of Jesus, who loved himself and gave himself for us, both in life and in death. And so this is the kind of life and love that we are called to mirror and reflect in our relationships. I know it's hard to let others bear our burdens. I'm quite terrible at it myself. Because when we let others bear our burdens, we have to be vulnerable. And being vulnerable is really hard. Because it can open us up to more fear and more shame and more judgment. But it can also open us up to more love and to more grace, to more kindness and more hope. In the church, in God's family, we are called to live differently. And one of those ways is to be interdependent, to be mutually dependent on one another. We are to model the self-sacrificing love of Jesus in all of our relationships. And that doesn't just mean that we empty ourselves as we love and care for others. It means that we also empty ourselves and let others care and love us so that we can receive the love that they have to offer and let them bear our burdens as well. Brothers and sisters, may God give us the strength and the courage and the grace to let others love us and to let them bear our burdens as well. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Lord of the harvest, you send your church into the world to proclaim Christ's new creation to all. Renew the church as it carries out your mission of peace and healing. We pray for missionaries who accompany your people. God, in your mercy, your creation abounds from flowing waters and diverse creatures. Guide the work of scientists as they develop and advocate ways to restore Earth's natural balance. Motivate humankind to adopt lifestyles and protect and sustain the Earth. God, in your mercy, you guard the nations. Let no leaders exalt themselves, but lift up the most vulnerable and work for the good of all. Send your Spirit to eradicate classism and inequity, violence and war, poverty and hunger. God, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. You desire abundant life for all. As we, our nation, celebrate Independence Day, instill in us gratitude, generosity, and persistence in working toward freedom for all people. God, in your mercy, Mothering God, you care for all people in need. Nourish those who are hungry. Restore employment to those who have lost work. Heal those who are sick and comfort all who are grieving, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Mike, Latifa, Jana, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Bill and Kate Hedrick.
God, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We remember the saints who proclaimed your reign on earth and now rest in you. Make us faithful in our witness to Christ's new creation. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of love, you call us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world for the sake of your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's presence, there is fullness of joy. Come to the banquet. All is now ready. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let's say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
peace, love your neighbor.